Crickets.
I deserve that one. Okay. Thank you for tuning in to this episode of the On the Gold podcast. Today we are talking about rules of thumb with professional prospector Chris Ralph and my intrepid co-host and producer, Mr. Kevin Bell. Sit back and relax and learn about the rules of thumb and how they do and do not apply to your everyday prospecting. Hi, guys. How are you today?
I'm doing great.
Yeah, me too, Kev. How's it going?
It is going fantastic. Now, rules of thumb, something that I really want us to talk about, and I'm going to start this out with just one statement, and let's take it from there wherever it leads to. I'm going to say that the basic rules of thumb that have been published for years and years and years, and the ones that people always talk about, inside bins, bedrock, all of these different things that you find in publications, I'm going to say have been an incredible disservice for brand new prospectors coming into this industry, coming into what we do as prospectors and miners, because Absolutely. It's not always where it's supposed to be. By telling people gold is always going to be on the inside bend of the stream, or gold is always going to be at bedrock, I think is a horrible, horrible disservice. Chris, I'm glad that you are here for this one, because another shameless plug for Fistful of Gold, your book, is the simple fact that you do not go down that rabbit hole and tell people this is where you're always going to find gold. And I just, you know what, I'm just going to turn it over to you and let's just run with this and teach our new prospectors why rules of thumb only matter to some extent.
You know, everybody wants a simple answer. I've had situations where people have come to me and say, oh, you know, what kind of rock should I look for to find gold? Or, you know, where am I going to find gold on my claim? And it's like, you know, there's rules of thumb. And you know what? They can be helpful in some situations. But the problem is a lot of guys will go out, think that they're applying the rule of thumb, not find any gold, and then get really discouraged, or think that, hey, you know what? It's all a lie. These people say there's gold out there to be found, and there's not, because I went out there and I dug on bedrock and I dug on the inside of the bend and I found El Zippo, or right. I got two teeny tiny micro flakes, and that was it. And this was a good gold bearing stream. Well, the truth is the whole story about prospecting is more complicated than a simple short rule of thumb. And the failure of the rule of thumbs had given rise to an even more famous saying, which we haven't talked about yet, but that's that gold is only where you find it. And so,
yes.
So, you know, people get discouraged by looking on the inside bend, by looking on bedrock, by looking in other places, always with the quartz. And then they think, well, it isn't anywhere. It's just wherever you find it. It's random. And then when you go out to prospect and you're thinking, well, gold is just random, who knows where it is? That's not really all that helpful either. So, the truth is, to learn prospecting and really understand, you have to grasp the rules of thumb, but then understand where there's exceptions and where you'll go out and look on the bedrock and maybe not find gold, because, you know, it's more complicated than just the simple rules of thumb.
You know, and the opposite end of that is they have success on one stream or a favorite stream they go to. So we just apply those rules to every other place we go. You know, which is even worse.
Very true. Very true.
And I get people that I talk to sometimes that are in other areas. So somebody from Arizona will talk about something that they think applies in the Sierra Nevada. And it's like, oh, well, these are streams that have a lot of water and you're used to the desert. And so it looks a little bit different. And, you know, I will say that one of the things that really has benefited me and increased my prospecting skill is just having seen a lot of different environments in which gold is present. Mm-hmm. And so by seeing these different situations, having prospected significantly in desert areas, in mountain wet streams, in, you know, in the you know, savanna of Africa and the outback of Australia, you get used to seeing a lot of different things and learn your own way of handling things. I know when I went to Australia, because it's different than the Sierra Nevada, it's different than Nevada, it's different than Arizona, it took me a while to really get the feel of things. By the time I left, I was comfortable and I was able to find things that even my host hadn't seen before. And so I was finally getting in the groove. But unfortunately, that was the time when, you know, my 6 weeks was up and it was about to end and I had to go.
Right.
But I did a lot better in the last like 4 or 5 days than I did in 4 weeks before that. Mm-hmm. But it's so learning that the truth of something is more than just a simple rule of thumb. Simple rule of thumb can be a place to start. You know, we all have to start somewhere. And so by starting with the simple rule of thumb, okay, you understand that bedrock is a good place to look for gold. All right. But there's more to it than that. Mm-hmm. And that's what becoming an experienced prospector is about, is learning that there's more to it than just the simple rules of thumb.
Very, very true. But Chris, what you've just said is that if somebody's going to get out there and really start doing a lot of prospecting and understand a lot of different areas, then they really have to spend a lot of time in those areas to understand what's going on. You and I have had the ability to be able to travel all around the world and go to different places. But let's just, and Kevin, you've done some traveling and gone to right. Two different areas. If I were to take you into Southeast Arizona, a place that you've never been, what would you do yep. before you would go there to understand and get a little bit better grasp of what you're going to be doing?
Well, you know, it was interesting that, you know, we just had that exercise when we met for the metal detecting, when you said to us, hey, look at this, you know, look at, what do you see? And what does this tell you? And the funny thing is, you know, I applied a paintbrush rule, right? Fell mm-hmm. into the trap that we're talking about today. And you said, yeah, that would be great in this situation. But when you actually got up there and looked at the terrain, completely different.
Right. So having keeping an open mind about that and understanding that, yes, there is a rule of thumb that applies to this, but being able to look at something and say, you know what, this doesn't, I can go up here and I can try this, which is what Rick actually did, where Rick went running up the hill. Even after we had that conversation, he wanted to go to the highest point and start taking a look at different things. But ultimately, when he came down and started looking at the area that showed the greatest amount of promise, other than the paint by numbers answer, he got onto his right. very first gold nugget that he's ever found with a metal detector.
Right.
So, yeah. And you know, I asked Chris a question and then we both jump in and start going after it. Well, Chris, Kevin and I threw out a couple of things and let's hear your thoughts on getting away from the rule of thumb or how the rule of thumb works for you, but not everywhere.
Okay. Well, you know, I often tell people that there is a home court advantage when you're prospecting in an area. You get to spend time exploring a certain area. You observe and see where gold is found, and you have a certain experience. And so you get a feel for that area of what works and what doesn't. And that isn't necessarily transportable to some area that's completely different. You know, you can't take what you know in central Arizona and transport it to the Sierra Nevada and expect it to work, because there's going to be things that are a lot different.
Oh yeah, very, very true.
And so part of you know, getting to getting used to an area or a type of area is just getting out there and getting some boots on the ground and spending some time. You know, the rules of thumb are intended as kind of shortcuts. And, you know, there's nothing wrong with a shortcut as a start to understanding something, but it can't be the end. It has to be the start. It has to be the beginning, but it can't be the sum total and the be all end all. And the whole thing to say about the matter is there's more to it. And you learn what works and what doesn't by spending time and gaining that home court advantage. Because the home court advantage for like a football or a basketball team is they know their stadium, they know their crowd, they know everything about their area because they played all their games there. Well, that gets to be the same thing for the prospector. You know, in Central Arizona, you spend a lot of time there and you get to know Central Arizona. Or you spend a lot of time in the foothills of the Sierra Nevada and you get to know the mother lode and you get to know that region and you get to understand the peculiarities of where you might find gold. And the same thing works for Alaska or Montana. I was the first time doing any significant prospecting in Montana this summer. And the geology of Montana actually is similar to the geology of Alaska we talked about a while ago, where a lot of the gold is associated with rocks that are near to intrusive bodies. And the gold tends to be on the small side. And I brought my metal detector hoping to find some bigger gold. And sure enough, there is some bigger gold in Montana, but a lot of the gold tends to be shoddy type, small mesh, you know, easily recoverable, but that's just the nature of things. And so, you know, you get to a new area, it takes time to learn, and you need to allow yourself the space and the time to learn that area and learn what it takes to be successful there.
And that is a very, very strong point. Give yourself enough time to be able to learn what's going on. In one of the previous podcasts, we talked about looking at new areas and different things. And I think we all agreed that in some places we just walk in, we put down all of our gear and we go for a walk. We just start looking at what there is. And we're looking at similarities. We're looking at differences. You know, the similarities are where the rules of thumb are going to come in and come into some sort of play. But taking that time and allowing yourself enough time, I will say that in my position with GPAA and Kevin, with your position as a state director, and Chris as a professional prospector, I know that we all get these calls or we get these messages saying, I'm showing up here and I need to be able to get out and go out and find some gold. And they have no idea. They've never been there. And I think at one point in time, Chris, you made a remark about somebody had contacted you and said, isn't there a formula that, and I don't remember exactly how it was that you phrased it, but, water, gravel, gold.
It's gravel plus bedrock equals gold.
Right.
And and certainly I've been on plenty of places where if you're not on or close to bedrock, you're not going to get much gold. But I've also been in places where you can dig on the bedrock in a gold-bearing stream and find pretty much almost nothing.
Right.
And there's the rule of thumb about bedrock, but there's also a rule of thumb that really isn't, you know, said except by more experienced prospectors, is that, you know, the gold in stream deposits is spotty. It's here and there, but not over here and over the other place. And so if you dig in the right place, you're going to do okay. If you dig in the wrong place, you may not do okay. And it's not always the right place is the inside bend or behind a boulder or in that exposed bedrock. Sometimes, you know, it's a false bedrock that's on a certain place. Or sometimes it's just a flood layer, that a layer of flood gold that was deposited on the surface. There's all kinds of different little tricks and stuff that you learn when you gain that home court advantage.
I totally agree. Absolutely agree. And here in Arizona, we have flash floods. We have flash floods that in areas where, let's just say, the bedrock has been just almost scrubbed clean. And then we have these incredibly great flash floods that an hour after the water comes through, the hour is gone. And I see this happen so many times where people will run out and they'll go straight to the bedrock because that's where the gold's going to be. And they literally throw all the gold in that flood layer off to the side. It's overburdened just to get to the bedrock. And that happens so often.
Yeah, no, that's what being an experienced prospector teaches you. And, you know, you can gain a lot from books and you can gain a lot from talking to people or listening to lectures or watching videos and that kind of stuff. But ultimately, there's a certain level of experience that you have to gain by boots on the ground.
Yes, yes. And being open, having an open mind, knowing that it's not that, you know, the rule of thumb doesn't always is not always precedent.
You know, Kevin, one of the things, you know, when I first started prospecting and trying to learn things, the interesting thing is the mother lode has such a diversity of, you know, formations and types of streams. So my first workings were in streams that had round cobble, you know, standard stream gravels. And then what you do is you take it down and you get into these flat rock areas, a lot of broken up pieces of material, not much black sand, you know, a lot of silt, those kind of things. And you're trying to apply what you've learned on those cobble streams and you just strike out. I mean, you shake your head and you say, there's no gold here. The funny thing is once you unlock the secret, or someone shows you or whatever, you realize that it's just a completely different dynamic. And so that rule of thumb of, you know, working stream gravels down to a bedrock or even a false layer may not apply to those other types of streams.
True.
I mean, even within the same geographic area, I mean, in my case, the mother lode.
Yeah, and it's interesting because you've got me that's sitting down here in the desert Bajada. You've got Chris on the eastern side of the Sierra Nevada. You've got you on the western side of the Sierra Nevada. And we can all sit there and we can say our normal rules of thumbs or the rule of thumbs are this, this, and this. But really, for the three different locations that we're at, it's completely different types of prospecting. Completely mm-hmm. different types of prospecting. We can't go by just the rule of thumb and you just can't go by that. Chris, what has been I don't want to say that we've covered everything on this one, but I think just as an introduction on rules of thumb, Chris, what is your number one rule of thumb that you feel that people are following that they should not be following?
I would say that it's the gold is always on the bedrock, you know, that gravel plus bedrock equals gold, that it's a formula. Like a formula is something that's true always, right?
Yeah, a constant.
And so, you know, it doesn't really work that way. It's not so simple. And I guess the real rule of experienced prospectors that does apply that you could say is that prospecting is not so simple. It's not easy. If gold were easy to find, it wouldn't be $1,500 an ounce. And so, you know, simple rules are good places to start, but you need to be persistent. That's one of the things we haven't talked so much about is that to be a successful prospector, you have to have an open mind and able to learn and willing to learn other things other than the simple rules. But then you have to be persistent and stick to it. To where you gain that knowledge.
And I think that is very, very important, the persistence of sticking with it, opening up your eyes, looking at different things, getting out of the box. Don't just follow this. So prospecting, persistence, and as you said, bedrock and everything else just comes into that one. I like that. That's a great answer. Kevin, yours.
Well, mine's if you find the black sand, you find the gold.
That's another
Wow. Go ahead. Go with that one.
Because, well, and the funniest thing.
We all know that wherever there's gold, there's black sand. We all know that you're not going to have gold without black sand. It has to be there because for God knows how many years we've always preached wherever there's gold, there's black sand.
Right. Well, you know, the funniest thing is people, they look where they find these high concentrations of black sand and they say, oh, there's just got to be gold here. Boy, I'm in the black sand. I must be in it. And they just keep digging and digging and digging. And they get poor results. You know, going back to that gold is where you find it. You know, in the stream where you're working, yes, you may find gold and that's in with the black sand. But just because you find a high concentration of black sand didn't mean that the gold fell there. You know, and that's what people mistake. They don't find where the gold laid down in the different stream flows or in the areas. They don't think of how did that all lay down? You know, the black sand may be in the last area, you know, in the, where the lightest concentration of gold is, not necessarily the heavy gold fell down.
And sometimes it's just the geology of it. You can have areas with loads of black sand, but no gold.
Exactly.
And you can have areas of almost no black sand, virtually zero, and nice gold. I actually have an area that I worked pretty good this summer that I, to myself, call Glittery Gold Gulch. And it violates two rules of thumb. One is that there's virtually no black sand. And the other rule, that the Glittery Gold nickname, is that, you know, the old rule is the rule of thumb, all that glitters isn't gold.
Right.
Okay. And that's a really old saying. There's actually a Shakespeare quote that William Shakespeare said that's almost that. I mean, if that is what he's saying, it's almost word for word what that is. And so all the gold in this, not all, not every little piece, but most of the gold in this gulch sparkles like glitter. And you think, wow, that's unusual. And it is. But the gold is very pretty. It's crystalline and the pieces sparkle.
Right. Right. Yeah. And
so, but there's a dry wash there and there's almost no black sand.
Sure. And that's actually a tough one because when we're actually teaching people, and this has always been a downfall that I've had because I have used the all that glitters is not gold, because when people are coming back, when I had my shop, people would come in with a ball mason jar full of mica.
Yeah.
And of course, you know, they've already spent it. They've bought that $1 million home and everything else. And you take that, you put it in a gold pan, you do the shadow test or, you know, any of the number of just little things. And then I always hated to be the guy that just absolutely destroyed their dreams. But there are times that, you know, we almost have to do that. But I do agree. I've got a couple of beautiful pieces of gold that even they glitter. They absolutely glitter. It's material that I got out of Nevada. And so, you know, that's the rule of thumb. Doesn't apply in that one. So, okay, Kevin. And so on yours, with everything you're saying and what you said, is a lot of that is prospecting. Prospecting is the key. You just have to continue to prospect. And as Chris said, you have to be persistent and you just have to do the job. You can't just say wherever there's gold, there's black sand. So I think mine is going to be the inside bin. I think we're just going to cover all of the three majors right now. Wherever there's gold, there's black sand. Wherever there's bedrock, you're going to have the gold and the inside bin. And this one is so much about prospecting, because you may have an inside bin, but 50 feet up, there's a huge boulder or there's a tree that diverted the water. And the inside bin is not where that gold's going to be. Because it didn't just take this nice little trip down and find that slow spot. That slow spot may not have, the gold may have never got there. So that goes back to the prospecting, looking around, getting out of the rule of thumb, that inside bin. Look at the things that will divert. Look at the things that changes the flow and prospect. Be willing, take the time and look at everything. Anything else anybody want to add?
No, that's perfect.
Where we all well, on agreeance
only say that the rules of thumb are not completely useless.
No, they're not.
They have value, but you got to realize that prospecting is a lot more complex than the simple rules of thumb.
Mm-hmm. Right. And you know, the funniest thing is I talk in one of my lectures, Kev, is people bring the kitchen sink every time they go out. And they're thinking that, you know, they bring their sluice and their shovels and the buckets and everything. And they did no prospecting to start. And so they come into a new area with no real understanding of how that works. And they just dig randomly, or they'll just pick a spot and just dig a big hole and they got nothing. And so they, you know, they did their best guess of, you know, I'm going to apply all these rules. And they fail. You could have walked down there with a pan and a classifier, pick some obvious areas, apply your rules or not, and just work through and find where the gold is, then come back with the tools to extract it.
Agreed.
Very well said.
Yeah. And I'm going to say that is a prospector's job is to prospect.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah. No, you can't start mining first and then think about maybe you should have gone prospecting. You got to go prospecting first. And then if you find something, go mining.
There you go. And with that, we end this episode of On the Gold. Prospect, rules of thumbs are rules of thumbs. Don't place your entire prospecting career on depending upon rules of thumbs. Thank you guys. I appreciate it. And wow, this is a great episode. I think this is really going to help a lot of people understand more about rules of thumb and what you can and cannot expect. All right, folks, thank you for joining us for this On the Gold podcast. Thank you to Chris Ralph. And as always, thanks to Kevin Bell. Tune in for the next one coming shortly. This episode of the On the Gold podcast was brought to you by Fistful of Gold.